All right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kay, and this is the West Virginia Surf Report Podcast. Check this shit out. I bought a Kindle Fire for Tony for Mother's Day. You know, she has one. It's probably 5-6 years old. She complains about it. Says it freezes up all the time now, and it's really slow. And she, you know, occasionally she says, "I need to upgrade this thing. This thing's infuriating." You know, it's just a tablet. You know, Kindle Fire. Not like, you know, I think they should have named it differently, because Kindle. When you say Kindle to people, they think it's the e-reader, you know, because that's what it was originally. And then they branched out into tablets, like iPad-type things. They also call that the Kindle. So when you tell people about it, like I was telling people about this, what I'm getting ready to tell you, what I'm getting ready to lay upon you, I was talking about it at work last night, and people, you know, when you say Kindle Fire, they think it's an e-reader, right? And then you have to do a 2-minute dissertation on, you know, what you're trying to, you know, describe what it actually is. And at the end of that 2 minutes, there's still this look of like mild confusion in their eyes. But anyway, I guess I should start calling it a fire tablet. So I don't know. That's annoying to me. I don't know. Anyway. It's a tablet, all right? Are we clear on this? It's not an e-reader. It's a tablet where she goes on the internet, and, you know, she uses it like a computer, you know? So, she's at work at home. She works at home. So she uses this thing all the time. So I saw the other day that they were on sale. The one that, that she wants is the 10-inch screen, and it was $30 off, so I bought it for her. I thought that would be a good Mother's Day present, you know? So, the thing was supposed to be delivered on Thursday. They have this guaranteed 2-day delivery. I don't know what the guarantee means, because the shit didn't arrive, and I don't know what's the recourse on that. I don't know. I don't really care, to tell you the truth, but, the story, it takes a dark turn. All right. So, it was supposed to be delivered on Thursday. I was checking, and the thing did not arrive. I looked at the tracking on it, and the thing was, like, moving through the whole chain of events. You know, I know how these things work. You know, I'm in distribution myself, and have been for many a year. So I know how these things work. I can see where it moved here to here to here, and then it got stuck somewhere. I can't remember, some facility. I'm pretty sure it was in Pennsylvania somewhere. The thing got there, and then it didn't move for many hours. I'm like, uh-oh, there's a problem. The thing got run over by a forklift, possibly. Or it fell off and it's like lost. It's like behind file cabinet. I don't know how these things work, but or it's, you know, it got somewhere. It's lost. You know, we might not ever see this thing. So I had concerns about that, because you know how long it takes. It shouldn't be there for like 7-8 hours. You know, I had some concern. But then the next morning I looked at it again. It was back on track. It was out for delivery. So on Friday, the thing was delivered. The package was delivered. I got a notification that it was, you know, that UPS delivered the thing. So I sent Tony a text and said that that Kindle Fire was just delivered. I was at work. Because they throw stuff on our porch and then it just sits out there because nobody knows it's there. So they went out there. I think the older boy went out there and grabbed it and stuck it on the end table in our living room. And Tony was cooking dinner and stuff, and she didn't get around to looking at it for a while. And then after dinner, after everything was cleaned up and everything, she cracked that baby open. Empty box. Nothing in it. Just those air pillows, those little, you know, the packing material. There's no packing slip. There's no Kindle Fire. You know, It's just an empty box with air pillows in it. So she texted me and said, we got a problem with this thing. And I called her back and we talked. She looked at the box. It looked like somebody had sliced open the Amazon tape on the bottom of the box, you know. And then at some point, somebody retaped it with clear tape. So I don't know. And then on top of the box, there's a sticker where somebody wrote with a Sharpie, REP. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Repackaged? I don't know. But it looks like it was the original box, but it had been sliced open. Item inside removed. And retaped by somebody. I don't know if it was the carrier. I don't know if UPS retaped it. I don't know. But anyway, there's nothing in the box. The thing had been plundered. There's no other way of putting it. I assume it left the facility, the Amazon facility. And before it got to us, the shit was plundered. You know, somebody stole the thing right out of the box. And they delivered an empty box to our house. So the tracking shows that it was delivered. And so there's a plundering going on. And I was like, oh, man, this is, you know, whenever it was stuck, when it was stuck for those 8-10 hours in that facility somewhere, I wonder what the hell's going on, you know? I wonder what happened. I have a feeling that had something to do with it. I think that's where the trouble lies. So anyway, she told me about this, and I was like, ugh. Great, you know, I've been buying stuff from Amazon and other places forever, you know, and I've never had one single issue that I can remember. I never had any kind of claims or anything with them, and this is new for me. But you know, they have a reputation for being like the best with customer service, very customer centric, as they call it. So I thought, yeah, I'll just give them a call and they'll take care of it. You know, they'll probably send me another one. You know, and I called the 800 number. Some woman got on there. She was very nice, very friendly, very easy to understand, if you know what I'm saying. And very pleasant. So I thought, this is going to be great. You know, I've always heard about their customer service. You know, this is going to be a pleasure, you know. So I told her the story, and she said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Let me put you on hold, and I'll get right back to you. So she puts me on hold, and there's this weird, half-assed shit, you know, jazz music. But it's weird because it plays. It's a short little snippet. It's like a short little snippet, and it gets to the end, and there's like a little gap, and it starts over again, the exact same thing. But there's a gap in between. I don't know. It's really weird. So then she comes. Well. She didn't come back on. Some other person came back on. And this person sounds like they're in some room with 10,000 others, all talking. So there's this roar of all these people talking in the background. And she's speaking in some kind of a... But I've never heard of any kind of accent like this. I don't know. I've never heard... I have no idea her origin, you know? Because it generally it's like... you know, Indian or something, you know, something along those lines. And, but this woman, I don't know what it was. It was very strange. It was almost as if, you know, she was speaking through some kind of software that purposely distorted each word. I couldn't understand a damn thing she was saying. And she was talking very low. And there's this roar. It sounds like she's on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. People talking. She's talking really low in this bizarre ass. I don't know if it was Eastern European. I don't know. But it was very strange. And I couldn't understand her. I kept having to have her repeat herself. And another thing. I told the woman, the first woman, the whole story. You know, I went through the whole thing. I told her the story. She put me on hold. And then the next person that comes on, I have to do it again. It's as if the first thing never happened. It makes me doubt, am I having like some kind of like mini strokes or something, and that first conversation never actually happened? I only imagined it. You know, why do they make you go through the whole thing and tell one person? They put you on hold, and then you are asked to tell it again, the exact same story. So I told her, I told this woman, you know, this New York Stock Exchange lady, you know, the story, and she was saying stuff I couldn't understand her, and I kept having her repeat it, and she goes, at some point, she goes, "I'm sorry, Joseph." I'm like, what the? Who the fuck's Joseph? You know? And she goes, "I have fever." All right, well, you know, sorry to hear that. But let's get back to my problem. You know? But anyway, it was a very difficult. The whole situation was irritating to begin with. And then you can't understand. You can't communicate with the person. I mean, I'm not criticizing her because, you know, I speak one language. Well, hillbilly, but that's just kind of like an adjunct to the English language. I speak English. I don't speak any other languages. I took French for 3 or 4 years, and I couldn't speak a lick of French, you know? So she speaks whatever her native language is, and sort of English, you know? So she's ahead of me. So I'm in no position to be criticizing her, but at the same time, I'm not doing customer service, you know, in the Philippines or the Ukraine or whatever, you know. You know what I'm saying. It's very frustrating. The whole situation's frustrating to me. And then I can't communicate with the person. And she's talking in such a low tone because she, quote, has fever. I don't know. That's the reason, I guess. And so it's very, very difficult. I finally understand that she says they want to do an investigation, which is, I don't know if I'm paranoid, but it makes me feel a little uneasy. It's as if, oh, another thing she kept saying over and over again, we need to find out what really happened. And she was hitting that really part, you know? So, it makes it sound like they don't believe me, you know? Am I being paranoid? She said, we have ways of figuring out what really happened. I can tell you what happened. The thing was shipped out of one of your distribution centers by one of your surly, disgruntled employees. And I don't know if it even... Maybe it was plundered before it even left the distribution center. If it did make it out of there, it was plundered by one of those UPS employees, surly, disgruntled UPS employees. So that's what happened. It was stolen, you know? What do you mean, what really happened? I mean, I think you should do an investigation, find out, you know, where that Kindle Fire ended up. But putting me on hold, you know, like this, insinuates that you don't believe me, you know? I mean, I try to put myself in their position. I'm sure people try to pull all kinds of scams on them all the time. I have no doubt about that. But you can look at my history. I've been shopping with them since the 90s, late 90s, early 90s, mid 90s, I don't know, very early on. So, you know, you can look, and I've never filed any kind of grievance or any kind of claim or anything. I'm not, and I'm not running some once every 25 years, $120 scam. You know, that doesn't really, you know, I don't know what the benefit of that would be. You know, I think they should send me a new Kindle Fire and then do that investigation, find out what the hell happened, who plundered my package. I think that's what they need to do. But no, I'm on hold. They said they'll call me back on May 14th and let me know what the outcome of the investigation is. So I got a hold. Tony has no Mother's Day present, you know. And I don't know. It feels like they're insinuating that, you know, they don't believe me. They might believe me, but, you know, trust but verify. I don't even know if there's trust in there. So anyway, that thing's, I always hear about how great the Amazon customer service. I guess it's an open thing. We'll see how it goes. I mean, there's no resolution on this thing. You ever had this happen before? I have never had this happen before. I always hear about people getting stuff stolen off their porches. I can see that happening. That's never happened to me either, but I can see that happening. But have you ever had something where it was like stolen in transit and you just get an empty box? Man, I hear about people doing that like through Amazon, like the marketplace where it's an individual selling stuff, where they purposely send you a box that's empty. I've heard about that scam. It's like you can buy something from, you know, less than reputable dealers on there. They'll send you a box that has nothing in it, never had anything in it. Then they report it, and the seller says, nope, you know, it's not my fault. You know, the thing got lost in transit, you know, file a claim with UPS, you know, has nothing to do with me. It was in the box when it left here, you know. So then, and then Amazon, I think, it usually ends up covering it, you know. So it's a scam. But this came directly from Amazon, so I don't think that's, I know for a fact this shit was stolen somewhere along the line. So anyway, I guess we'll have to wait and see until the 14th. I don't know. I don't know if she'll ever call me back. Maybe they'll send me an email with resolution on this thing. I think they should have sent me another Kindle Fire and then did the investigation. Now, they're not sending me anything. They're putting me on hold. I don't know. I'm not real happy about it, to tell you the truth. But we'll see. We'll wait and see. Tomorrow we're leaving for Cleveland. We're going on vacation, a short little quick little guerrilla strike. In and out. We're going to drive over there. It's about 5 hours from here. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on Monday. Take the boys there. Maybe eat some interesting stuff along the way. It's all about the food with us. Well, me and Tony anyway. And so we're going to, you know, that's what we're going to do. And we'll come back on Tuesday. And so I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. None of the other family members have. I'm hoping, you know, some of my favorite artists are represented there. You know, heavy hitters like Firefall, maybe Pablo Cruz, you know, the Little River Band. I'm kidding. The thing about that place, which I remember, some of the things I remember, it's been many years since I've been there, but one of the things that was mind-boggling to me, they have this room of Beatles stuff. They have a giant, you know, Rolling Stones. And, you know, all this stuff, but they have almost nothing, or at least back when I went, from Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan, you know, when you think of the Beatles, the Stones, and Dylan, right, in the 60s, then there's like all this Jimi Hendrix stuff in there. There's no Bob Dylan stuff in there, at least back in the day. That was bizarre to me, you know. But they had this, when I was in there, they had this gigantic Todd Rundgren display. Had all his, like, you know, who wants to see Todd Rundgren's boots, you know? I don't know. No Bob Dylan stuff. But Todd Rundgren's, like, socks, you know? I don't know. I mean, I think Todd Rundgren, might have had a couple good albums from his 35 that he released. I don't know. You know, good producer, supposedly. That's what I hear. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll go through the thing. It's like in a pyramid. The whole building's in a pyramid. And there's a gigantic, massive gift shop at the end, you know. I mean, they always run you through the gift shop. This place is like the size of a Walmart. That's a mild exaggeration, but it's huge. So, you know, we'll see. I hope everybody likes it, you know. I just hope everybody's happy. I just want everybody to be happy. Is that so wrong? So we'll see how that goes. Go to some interesting restaurants, hopefully, and head on back. And then in August, Tony and I are going to Cincinnati. It's going to be an all Ohio summer. You know, Ohio is the vacation spot of America. You know, so we're going to go over there in August. Going to a Cincinnati Reds game, and then we're going to, a tennis tournament. There's a big tennis tournament out there. We're going to the Reds Hall of Fame, yeah, which I've never been to, and we're going to do a tour of the stadium. Then that'll be kick-ass. I've never done anything like that. They take you, like if the game's at 7:05 or whatever, 7:35, You can go over there, over at the stadium at like 11 in the morning, and they'll take you on a tour of the insides, you know, the bowels of Great American Ballpark. Get to go in the press box and all that stuff. I've never done anything like that. That'll be fun. So that's in August. We're staying at some expensive hotel. I don't know. It's like Manhattan prices. So, you know, we tried to cut corners a little bit when we went on this Myrtle Beach trip earlier this year, and we regretted it. You know, it was no good. So we made a vow: we're not cutting any corners. We're either going to do it the way we want to do it, or we're not going to go. That's the vow we made. So there was this hotel that we wanted to stay at. It's basically attached to the stadium, and it's expensive. But you know, we're not cutting corners anymore. We're either going to do it the right way, or we're not going to go. So we're staying there. The price made me gasp. You know. But, you know, we're going to do it. So that's in August. I don't know what we're going to do. It's a long gap between May and August. We're going to have to fit some other guerrilla strike in there somewhere. Also, we had a guy come over today to look at our deck. I don't know. It's the original deck. Well, it's not the original deck. It's the deck that was here when we bought it in 2000. We bought this house in 2000. And it's the same deck. So we've had work done on it through the years, you know. And it's solid, but it's like the boards on the floor of it, you know, are starting to warp a little bit. Nothing major, but it causes like water, standing water. Like if it rains, there's like a lake on the thing. That's not good. So so we had the guy come out. He gave us some options. He said they could open up the gaps between the boards a little bit, so that the drainage would be better. And they could also pressure wash it, stain it, seal it, and all that stuff. That was, I think he said, $1,650. Another option he gave us is just to tear the shit down and start over. That one was $8,000. Don't see that happening. when he came in, he goes, my name's Jeff. And I said, hey, yeah, my name's Jeff, too. He goes, great name. I said, damn right it is. So we had that moment. You know, we bonded. So anyway, we're trying to get some work done. At least we're thinking about it, you know, on the house. The other night, I was up in the middle of the night. I woke up for some reason. And I was lying there in anxiety, you know, having anxious thoughts about the house, you know. We got to get this done. This has to get done. Everything costs money. And everything's... It costs so much money to keep the house maintained. So I was thinking maybe we can get like some kind of home equity line of credit. We can get some shit done. But then you got another bill to pay. So I'm lying there in bed at like 4:15 in the morning just like thinking about this stuff. And then Tony told me that a couple nights later I never mentioned this to her. So she told me just out of the blue that she was like couldn't sleep worrying about stuff like that. So I think it's time. I think we need to start moving in that direction, you know. So we got somebody else coming out to look at some other things. The roof, I don't know, the roof is like, you know, we're coming up on 20 years. It's the same roof. As far as I know, it's fine. It looks good to me, but what do I know? What am I, some kind of roofing expert? I don't think so. So I don't know. These things concern me, you know. So, yeah. So the guy gave us a price, and his name was Jeff. Seems like a good dude, you know. It's a very well-known local company, so this guy would do good work, I know. But anyway, we'll see how that works out. It's all money though. I have no money, you know, there's no extra money, you know, what the hell? So anyway, these things make me anxious. Before we wrap up here, I want to play a message that came in on the, Surf Report podcast hotline. That's at 570-290-8151. Give us a call, leave a message, leave a question, leave a comment. And there's a very good chance I will use it in a future episode. So do that today. 570-290-8151. And this caller did not identify themselves. He says that we used to talk. Anyway, I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. But here's the message from unidentified caller.
Well, first off, thanks for not calling you back. Really appreciate that. Anyway, my question is, what keeps you in Northeast Pennsylvania? That's my question. Sounds like you've been all over the place. Obviously, the West Virginia Surf Report is like the greatest name ever for a podcast, a blog, whatever you want to call it. But what keeps you in NEPA? I used to live in NEPA. We used to talk. I used to work at Mohegan Sun Pocono. And I told you, anytime you want to come down, I can treat you. I just want to know, what keeps you in NEPA? That's my question. All right, and thanks for not calling me back. I really appreciate that, because I don't want to talk to you either. See you, pal. Bye.
All right, well, I'm sorry again. I don't know. You said we used to talk. I don't doubt you, but I can't remember who you are. I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude, but so the main question is, all right, for one thing, NEPA, are you yanking my chain here? I don't like that. I think I did like 10 solid minutes on that in an early episode of the Jeff K Show. But Northeastern Pennsylvania, a.k.a. NEPA. Ugh, that makes me cringe. Anyway, why do I stay in NEPA? Well, it's very easy. It's very simple. The kids, well, when I lost my job at Warner Home Video, we strongly considered moving to North Carolina. But the kids were in school. And they had, you know, roots here. Tony has this history. When she was growing up, she moved all the time. Her mother was, and is insane. And so she moved all the time. It was hard on her. So she was very, 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 you know, invested in giving them stability, you know. She didn't want them to go through that same thing she did. So we decided, after having thousands of conversations, that we would try to stay here and, you know, try to give them some stability so that they graduated high school with the same kids they graduated, or same kids they went to, you know, kindergarten with, you know, all the way through. I had that, you know, that's the way I grew up. Tony did not. So, she felt very strongly. So, I told her, I said, you know, I was making a lot of money there. I'm not going to be making that much money. I cannot. There's no way to replicate that situation, because I was getting paid California money in Northeastern Pennsylvania. You know, so I took another job. I found another job, paid much less. Money was tighter at that point. Quality of life was not nearly the same as it was prior. And so that's why we stayed. And the kids are still here, and they're in various states of college and whatnot. So we need to, you know, it feels like we need to see that through until they're on their own. And that's why we're still here, you know. Plus, I'm getting up there in age. I'm a very old man. And, you know, might not be so easy to find a job, you know, at this point. So that concerns me too. You know, go in there, they're like, this guy's a little long in the tooth. For one thing, they think that us oldsters, we're going to require a lot of money, you know, because we have a lot of experience. And also, they don't think we have the same energy level. You know, there's problems. You can't say, I'm not going to hire this guy because he's old. You know, you can't say that. But you don't have to hire me. You don't have to explain it, you know. So there's problems with that. So that concerns me too. But the main reason is that the younglings, we're trying to see that through until they're on their feet, out on their own, and then we're gonna hightail it out of NEPA. So that's the only reason. I don't hate it here. I don't, you know. Everywhere I've lived, I felt the same way. I don't hate it here. There's aggravations. There's a lot of anger up in this area. I don't know what the story is with that. Everybody's angry, You know, I don't know what that's all about. That's annoying, negative. You know, you're not going to get over on me. You know, I'm too smart. I know what you're doing. That kind of attitude, you know, that annoys me. But, you know, I don't hate it, but I'm ready to move. You know, the snow, I don't like the cold weather anymore. I don't mind cool weather. I don't want snow and ice. So we're going to hightail it out of here as soon as the kids are on their, up on their feet completely, 100%. And we'll probably move to the Carolinas somewhere. And so that's the plan. That's the answer to that question. Thank you, caller, unidentified man, who I probably should know and I don't and I feel bad about. Thank you for calling the hotline. You other folk, call the hotline. Ask a question. I'll answer it maybe. I always have to put maybe in there because I don't know. Some questions I don't want to answer, but you know what I'm saying. Call it today, 570-290-8151, and leave a message. And also, before we go, thank you guys who are supporting me at Patreon. And if you're not, and you want to hear a second show every week, just like this Monday show, but it comes out on Thursday-ish, sometimes Friday, I shoot for Thursday, sometimes it's Friday. But anyway, if you want the second show, it's exactly like the Monday show. I don't differentiate. I'm not smart enough to differentiate. They're just two shows that come out every week, and one of them is for patrons. That's people who do a monthly donation through patreon.com/JeffK. It's only $4. $4 will unlock the second show every week. So for $4, you get an extra West Virginia Surf Report podcast every week, and you support my efforts. So it's great. It's a win-win, you know. So you can be, I should mention that it can be more than $4. It can be $74. It can be $84. It can be, it doesn't even have to have four in it. It could be $97, any number. But at $4, you'll unlock the audio. You'll get the Thursday show in addition to the Monday show that everybody can hear. So if you're interested in doing that, go over to patreon.com/JeffK, sign up, and it's painless. Put it on a credit card, gets charged at the first of every month, and everybody's happy. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this one. We're off to our first Ohio adventure. Man, we're living. I hope you guys have yourselves a fine, fine week. I will be back on Thursday-ish. Over at Patreon. I will see you then. Have a good one. Bye. I'm sorry, Joseph. Like, what the? Who the fuck's Joseph? You know?